Sometimes the best way to understand a troubled teenage boy is to talk to a man who used to be a troubled teenage boy. Today we'll be talking with a man who overcame many wars, from childhood battles to a war abroad, from marital battles to a war within his own soul. But this troubled teenager eventually became a respected pastor and an internationally known author, speaker, and radio personality. We'll find out how he derailed his former life, changed tracks, and now how you and your child can get on the right track as well. Our host is Trace Embree, the founder of Shepherd's Hill Academy. I'm Rich Rozzle, and this is Licensed to Parent. Well, Trace, I know here at Shepherd's Hill you deal with troubled teenagers from all around the world every day, and it sounds to me like there is a common denominator between what transforms kids here at Shepherd's Hill Academy and what has transformed the life of our guest today.
Yeah, absolutely, Rich. It's all about Jesus. I mean, we beat this politically incorrect drum regularly here on, you know, Licensed to Parent, and certainly at Shepherd's Hill Academy. You know, we're seeing these lives transform before our eyes in the course of a year. But if parents would simply follow the lead of the Holy Spirit, you know, like the sons of Issachar who understood their times and knew what to do, they would know the person of Jesus Christ, his Spirit that lives within us, and his playbook that we call Scripture. This is the answer to all of life's issues, not just parenting. Shepherd's Hill is just a proving ground for everything that Scripture has already taught and for what we teach here on the broadcast. But Jesus truly is our license to parent, not the government, not Amen. The culture, not the public, the public school system, not Oprah, not even Dr. Phil.
You know, I am amazed as you talk about that, and as we do this program, I'm amazed at how parents seem always to be asking us for a handout. They want to know the 10 steps to this or the 12 principles of that, the latest psychology on parenting, when really that was written ages ago. In fact, it was written before the ages. God has already laid out the fundamentals of raising kids in his word.
That's exactly right. We just have to follow the leading of the Spirit and apply it to the culture that we live in. You know, it might be old-fashioned, but it's not outdated. You know, God isn't requiring us to be PhDs in child psychology to be a good, you know, to be good parents. He's not looking for an A student either. He's looking for a student. The Lord and his commandments have, you know, just been marginalized, abused, misinterpreted, or forgotten. All we're doing is resurrecting what God in thousands of years of human history have already proven to be successful when it comes to bringing up our kids. And I think I got a feeling our guest is going to agree with us.
Yep. Well, and that brings us right around to introducing our guest. Our guest today is Raul Reese. He's a man who, well, by his own testimony, probably would never have imagined that as a troubled teen and young man, he would have become a guy pastoring a church of 14 or 15,000 members. Raul grew up in Mexico, then in Los Angeles. He said he had an abusive father and determined that he would never follow in those footsteps. But as often happens, he ended up following in those footsteps. He got into trouble repeatedly, developed a hatred inside that almost led him to murder. Fortunately, the Lord intervened and led him down a very different path to starting a ministry at local high schools and a weekly Bible study at a karate studio. Those ministries eventually led to his being pastor of Calvary Chapel Golden Springs in Diamond Bar, California. He's also an international speaker, an author, and the host of the radio program Somebody Loves You. Trace?
Well, Raul, thank you so much, sir, for being part of the Licensed to Parent broadcast today. It's an honor to be talking with you.
You guys, too, thank you for inviting me to speak, you know, and I know that God's going to use you guys continually, and we hope that God will touch many people through this program.
Well, thank you very much. You know, our history goes back about 20, 25 years. You don't know that, but I used to roof houses. You know, God has always used laymen to seem like to do his work, you know, carpenters and sheep herders and, you know, doctors and whatever, but I would listen to you putting shingles on houses and back in Chicago, where I'm from, and just a pleasure to talk with you, and the things I learned from guys like you and David Rosales and Chuck Smith, and when Swindoll and Dobson were out there as well. But at 35 years old, God got a hold of me to use me in ministry. I moved to Georgia, and you're part of that. I mean, you never knew that, but the reality of the things that you taught that you could take to the streets, there was no pretense, there was no impressive Christian-y speech. Thank you for being true to the Lord and true to His Word, and for exposing a lot of the prosperity teachers by name sometimes. That actually helped me out, believe it or not, back in the day. So you're a tremendous asset to the body of Christ, brother. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And you know, it's always amazing how God uses people. I mean, He uses donkeys, number one, and then He uses us to reach out to people just like us.
That's,
you know,
right.
Through His love, through His grace, His mercy. Otherwise, the world would never be reached. And it's not by preaching, but the way the church leads, even today in hard times.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of parents listening to this broadcast that are dealing with troubled teens, and I can't help but believe that pretty much every kid is troubled today. Just a matter of degree. I mean, it's hard not to be troubled when Sodom and Gomorrah is hanging off your hip pocket. But can you tell us a little bit about your own upbringing and what it took to bring you from the kinks of a troubled past to the kingdom of the straight and narrow?
Sure. My mom was living in New York City. My grandparents came from Spain, and she was visiting Mexico City, met my father, Mexican-German, and they got married. They had me. But my dad had one problem. He worked for the Bank of Mexico, an incredible job, and what happened is he started to drink and to abuse physically and verbally my mom. And I can remember at 5 years old going with him to nightclubs and bars and seeing things that a child should not see. So my heart started getting harder, and when he would come home verbally, physical, my mom. So my goal from a little kid was to kill my dad because of the anger that I had in my own heart.
Wow.
When I got out of high school at 18, I was in trouble. I had to go to court, and I decided to go in the Marine Corps. It was a time in 1966, after I graduated from high school, to sign up and go with the Marine Corps. So I went to the Marine Corps, and then I got orders to Westpac, which I was going to Vietnam. So when I got to Vietnam, I was put in a platoon that was up in Chu Lai, in Phu Bai, and Da Nang, up by the north. And we went out, did patrols, reconnaissance, and for the first time, you know, I thought, you know, well, here is, I have a license to not only use my anger against an enemy, but also to do whatever I want to do and yet be not responsible to anybody.
And you've got a DVD called Taking the Hill. And that's basically what Taking the Hill is about, right?
Yes, Taking the Hill. We did it to help guys in Iraq, Afghanistan, or Korea. You know, whatever war they fought, you know, the same things happened to a veteran. So we tried to take the film and talk to veterans, you know, about anger and maliciousness, and then how there's hope, you know, for their lives, like kids. It's only in Christ Jesus.
So how did you end up pastoring a church of, I don't know if it's 14 or 15,000 people, from the background you had and, you know, the trauma you've gone through, helping people come through these things themselves?
In 1964, I met a Chinese guy by the name of Jimmy H. Wu, and he had a Kung Fu class. So I went to those classes my junior year, my senior year. So when I went to Vietnam, I came back in 1968, and I came back and joined the class again. And I was with him until he passed away 10 years ago. And I took martial arts for about 40 years. And it was really cool because I got my black belt, became a master. That's what I did my living with. And then the Lord, in 1972, I had come home, and my wife was leaving me. I saw her back's packed. So I decided, you know what, I've been in war. I've done damage in war. So there's no problem with killing my wife, you know. So what I did is I planned out how to kill my wife, my kids, and then set up a trap so the police would kill me. But I was sitting in my house, and I destroyed my house. My wife had gone to church. So I tried to break the TV, and the TV came on. And Pastor Chuck Smith with the Jesus People Movement was with Catherine Kuhlman and was sharing the gospel, sharing about God's love. It's through the sharing of God's love, like an archer from one side shooting arrows, the Holy Spirit was actually piercing my heart. So I got on my knees. I started to cry. I haven't cried for a long, long time in my bitterness. And the Lord touched my life, and I accepted Christ. I went looking for my wife. I couldn't find her until I got to church. She said she saw me grab my two boys and left for the house to get her bags. And then when I got home, I knocked on the door. I said, Sharon, the Lord touched my life. She would not open the door. And I told her, hey, look, I can kick the door down. So she opened the door. And then for a whole year, she had to watch my life transform as I went to Calvary Chapel, started to get rooted and grounded in God's word. And I ended up in the ministry.
Wow.
That is a really involved story. I want to walk back through it a little more slowly just to make sure that our listeners caught this. So you had mentioned that that you were so angry with your dad as a youngster that you wanted to kill him. You went off to war, and again, this was at a time the anger wasn't really dealt with, but instead it was given a fertile ground to foster and grow up, and you felt that you had a license to kill, basically, at that point.
Right.
And that is what came back with you, so that when you and your wife were having problems and you saw that she was ready to leave, you were ready to kill her.
Yes.
And that's and in the destruction, you said you were tearing up your house, or you destroyed your house. The one thing you were unable to destroy was your TV set.
Yes, that's the only thing.
Go figure that.
You know what's amazing is I came back to the United States when I was 10 years old. We left my dad and we settled here. Finally, he came, got the job at Bank of America, she had a junior bank, but he continued that same pattern of life. So by the time 18 years old, I was flaming with this anger. So when I went to Vietnam, you know, it just was uncontrollable. And I ended up, after getting wounded twice, I ended up at Oakland Naval Hospital, locked up for 6 months, and eventually they gave me an honorable discharge. So what happened is when I got out, I got married to my wife. She got pregnant. She was a missionary's daughter. They were missionaries in South America. They're from Nebraska. So she came back in 1957. We met in high school, never as boyfriend and girlfriend. We fell in love through letters in Vietnam. So now I'm married to her, and now I'm verbally, physically abusing her for 4.5 years. And that's when she packed her bags and was getting ready to leave me.
Mm. It's amazing how God can turn things around and the unusual ways he does it. We can laugh at the fact now that you were trying to destroy your TV and your TV was at the same time bringing you down to your knees. That's almost humorous, but God uses every tool available to him to accomplish his purposes.
Yeah, because we're not in control. God's in control. That's
absolutely
what happens, you know. So when you look at people, what's going on, if you pray for somebody, they may resist the Lord, but if you pray for them, it's not us, but the Holy Spirit will get a hold of their lives just like me. And the Holy Spirit, through the teaching of God's word, transforms us into what God wants us to be.
Raul, there are a lot of angry kids today. You know, I've discovered that a lot of this anger comes from a kid's mistrust of their parents and adults in general. What can we do to reinstitute trust and give our kids a sense of respect and security in us as parents?
I think that number one, parents have to really stop being hypocrites, and they have to come to a place where they recognize that God holds them responsible for their children. And so whatever the children see in the home, we got people coming to church that are, you know, drinkers, they do drugs, you know, and the father's in adult relationship or the mom, and then they come home, even pornography. So these kids become confused. And when they become confused, they rebel against their parents, and they look for someone they can trust. Right. It might be a gang. It might be whatever it is. And then those children go out, and they make a record for themselves. And instead of coming to Christ, they rebel because of their parents.
Yeah, they're going to find security one way or the other. And to a teenager, that security to an adult looks really strange. And it could be a gang. It could be sex, drugs, rock and roll, pornography, whatever. Digital devices have taken over, and you know, technology is here to stay. When it comes to the parent-child relationship, do you feel these devices are in any way adding to the frustration and anger of our kids today?
Cell phones, 8, 10 years old kids looking to pornography. And also think about this, they go home, there's no love, and the parents are supposed to be the spiritual leaders, teaching them God's word, praying with them. And if there's none of that in the home, you're going to have rebellion.
Right. No, I couldn't agree more. You pastor a church of 15,000. How do you keep from it sounding like an arcade in there? I mean, do you have any rules in place about all that? Because I know the small church I go to, you hear bells and whistles going off every now and then.
No, you know what? We have a good board and we have good leadership, and we allow the Holy Spirit, you know, not only to work in the life of the people. We don't have membership. We don't ask for money. And so it's kind of neat that a lot of people come in here, and we trust in the Holy Spirit to, you know, not only to convert people, but to convict people, to let them know and to see in their lives that they're empty and they need a Savior in their lives.
Amen.
Our guest today is Raul Ries, and we are talking about living through and growing through the wars in our lives and allowing Christ the power to turn our lives around and get us on the right track. This program is Licensed to Parent with our host, Trace Embry. I'm Rich Rosel. We have to take a short break, but we'll be back right after this. Hi, I'm Rich Rosel, co-host of Licensed to Parent. The conversations and the teaching that you hear on this program come from the daily experiences gained at Shepherd's Hill Academy, the Christ-centered therapeutic boarding school founded by our host, Trace Embry, that serves troubled teenagers from all around the world. Teens come to Shepherd's Hill struggling with depression, oppositional defiance, ADD, ADHD, cutting, digital addictions, and any number of other behavioral disorders. Yet by God's grace and by using the scriptural principles that we discuss right here on Licensed to Parent, these students experience healing. Not only that, many are graduating medication-free. At Shepherd's Hill, we're cultivating the soil of our students' hearts so that the seed of God's Spirit can take root and bear fruit. And on Licensed to Parent, we're equipping you to be the parent your child needs. Please join us in this important outreach by visiting us today at LicensedToParent.org. Your tax-deductible contribution can rebuild the hearts and lives of teens and their parents in today's troubled culture. Don't wait. Go to LicensedToParent.org and click Donate at the top of the page.
This is Kevin Swanson from Generations with Vision, and I want to say that Shepherd's Hill Academy is a wonderful opportunity for the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the reconciliation of our young people with God, reformation of life, the ministry of the Spirit of God, and radically changing lives. And by the grace of God, this is what happens with Shepherd's Hill Academy. And we want to praise God for what these folks have been doing.
Shepherd's Hill Academy serves families with teenagers in crisis. If you have a situation you need help with, go to helpmytroubledteen.org and click on Inquire Now. That's helpmytroubledteen.org.
Welcome back to Licensed to Parent with Trace Embry. I'm Rich Rosel, and our special guest today is Dr. Raul Ries. He is the pastor of Calvary Chapel Golden Springs Church in Diamond Bar, California, and he is on the phone with us today. And we've been talking about, first of all, how to overcome some of the wars in our lives and let Christ help us overcome those to turn things around. And Trace, right before the break, we were sort of getting into the topic of what the digital devices that are burying us these days are doing to influence our kids.
Yeah, sure. It certainly makes parenting a more complicated endeavor. Raul, in his book, The Digital Invasion, Dr. Arch Hart quotes Army Chaplain Mark Ojahowitz, who said, "Most of our military population under 25 doesn't have the coping skills to successfully process trauma, rejection, failure, loss, and major life changes." Now, I see this as going way beyond the military because I think we've pampered our kids. Everyone's a winner. While some parents may totally neglect their kids, I mean, others have just totally pampered their kids right back into the cradle. So my question is this: what are some things that parents and the church can do to put some backbone back into this generation and in our nation again?
I think one of the things is, like, when we grew up, responsibility. You know, kids today, they don't want to work. They want to stay home longer. And yet, at the same time, think about all the people out there. It's a majority because, you know, they want computers. They want iPods. They want all these things. And they want the parents to buy those things. And then the kids, you know, teenagers or young adults, they get all these things and then they get into sin, pornography, you know, and all these awful things. Instead of drawing them close to the family or to God, it draws them far away from that.
Mm-hmm. And for males in particular, they get a sense of identity in the whole pornography thing. I think they think they're more of a man by servicing half the population. But what has happened to our sense of manhood in America, and how do we get it back?
Well, I think it's the role of the woman, the role of the men. I mean, think about how women have to take the role of the leader in the home.
Sure.
Because the guy, you know, the young man or whoever he may be, he's too busy. He's never home watching sports or going here and there. So there's the absence of the father, mm-hmm. the one that is responsible spiritually and to take care of his home.
Why isn't there more emphasis given to the incredible fatherless rate in the inner city in particular? Isn't there an anger and a resentment from the mere fact that a kid doesn't know who his daddy is? I mean, right there ought to light a fire of anger, right there.
Yeah, you know what happens? A lot of the where these kids live and you know, in these low-income places, you know, their parents used to be gangsters, you know? Mm-hmm. And so if they were gangsters before, or whatever the parent may be, it carries over to your children. If you don't really get straightened up, they follow that same life, and eventually it destroys them.
Mm-hmm. By the way, that's not something that's just, Trace, you were sort of alluding to this. The absentee parent is not just the parent who is no longer married to the mother and living in the home. The absentee mm-hmm. parent is also the dad who's addicted to work.
Right.
The dad who's off doing outside projects, but is in that way divorced from his family.
Sure.
And also, you know what? Also, divorce is, I mean, huge.
Oh, yeah.
Think of these kids. We have people in our church. 3, 4, 5 divorces.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Wow. You know, there was a study, it was accidentally stumbled upon in Africa. I don't know what country it was, but they had a bunch of elephants that they were trying to move from one park to another. And the helicopters that they had contracted with were only big enough to carry just the mama elephants and the baby elephants and the adolescent elephants. And so it took them a while to contract with another helicopter company to get the daddy elephants. Well, in the meantime, in the place where they moved the mama elephants and the baby elephants and the adolescent elephants, all these baby rhinos come up dead. And what was happening was is the adolescent elephants were killing them for sport. And when they finally got the helicopters to take the daddy elephants from the other park back to their families, that killing stopped. And they realized that it was the daddy elephants that were keeping these adolescent elephants in line. I found that very interesting.
Yes. Well, I think that's kind of what's happening today. You know, I talk to parents all the time and fathers, and the fathers don't seem to be, you know, they have excuses,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they manipulate the wife, they manipulate their children. And the reason is because they're selfish,
right.
and they're so used to going to work and the mother staying home or the mother working, then the children are home by themselves. There's no supervision.
Right.
So what do you expect in America or anywhere to have kids that are going to rebel, and in the future we have major problems?
Yep. And we got these guys 30, 40 years old still playing video games. You know, thinking that the, you know, their only goal for the day is to get to the next level of a video game. They call them, there's actually a name for them. They're called Peter Pan males. And, you know, there's more males in the work, more females in the workforce than there are males today. There are more females in college than there are males today. And my question to you is, what role has feminism played in the emasculation of the American male?
Yeah, you know, women are more go-getters, they're more disciplined. And then men have, you know, especially if they come from a home where maybe their mother babied them, you know, mm-hmm. and the father wasn't around, they're not secure because they're missing of the male in the home. So what they do is when they get married, they don't have that confidence or that discipline to see now that I have a wife, I have children, and what happens, I got blown away a couple months ago where the father doesn't have a job, he's the mother at home and the mother's working.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's kind of commonplace today. I know in Chicago over the 4th of July weekend, there were more kids killed in the city of Chicago than in Afghanistan. And I think that's actually a regular occurrence in the city of Chicago. And there's a 73% out of wedlock birth rate among the minority populations in the inner city of Chicago. And it doesn't seem like people want to address this pink elephant in the living room. Can you comment to that?
Yeah, the reason they don't want to comment because they find themselves guilty, and they really don't want people to know what they're really doing. But, you know, society can see it. Your neighbor next door, across the street, or the teacher in the school, wherever you are, they see that the emptiness in the children, and they know that the parent is at fault.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I'm not saying that Bill O'Reilly is the go-to guy for every cultural problem, but he did bring up in one of his talking points this very issue not too long ago. I think it was on this 22nd of July, and he's taken some big-time heat over it, but he's also getting a lot of support from it as well, particularly in the black population. Guys like Ben Carson and others like him are saying, hey, listen, you're exactly right. And then you got other guys like Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson who are seem to be perpetuating their own job security by keeping this thing going and looking the other way. Do you have any comments on that?
Well, the reason they do that is, number one, because they've never worked. They've always had people support them. And it's always liberal people.
Right.
You know, all black people don't feel like that.
Right.
But these guys are radical. They're like communists, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they live in America because freedom of speech. So they say whatever they want. And people need to stop listening and look at their lives.
Amen. Amen. Do you think there's a natural resentment and anger that builds up in a young man who has to grow up in a situation where a female, whether it's the mother or in a lot of cases the grandmother, is forced to be the sole disciplinarian? I mean, isn't there a little bit of resentment that an adolescent would have knowing that, you know, this little female is telling me what to do all the time?
For sure. Number one, because we love our grandparents, right? And then all of a sudden, grandparents have to take the role of a father. So then now there's resentment, not just for the grandma, but mom and dad. And so they become confused. You know, who's disciplining me? My mom, my dad, or my grandmother?
Mm-hmm. Wow. Raul, we only have just a few seconds left. What can we in the church be doing better to help single moms who are trying to raise boys in particular? Because that's really a major problem that has already been created, and we have to deal with it. So what can we in the church be doing to help these single moms?
Number one, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then take responsibility as the leader of your home so that God can give you wisdom and knowledge, and then you can see the success in your home because it will be built around Jesus Christ.
Mm. That's good counsel.
Our guest today has been Raul Reese, the pastor of Calvary Chapel Golden Springs in Diamond Bar, California. He is also an international speaker and an author. And if you'd like to learn more or even listen to some of his teachings, visit calvarygs.org. Raul, thank you so much for being with us today. It has been a real pleasure.
Thank you guys for the interview. We love you guys, and we'll be praying for this problem.
Excellent. God bless you, Raul.
Thank you. Well, that wraps up another week here on Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, providing hope and healing to troubled teens and their families. If today's program has been a blessing, I'd like to invite you to visit our website, licensedtoparent.org, where you'll find more parenting resources as well as our blog, archives of past programs, and links to connect with us via Facebook and Twitter. You'll also find a donate button at the top of the page, and I do hope that you'll click that and become a Licensed to Parent Ministry partner. We are a 501c3 nonprofit organization, and we won't be able to minister to teens at Shepherd's Hill Academy or to parents here on the Licensed to Parent broadcast without your prayers and your financial support. Your gift in any amount would be greatly appreciated, and of course, all gifts are tax deductible. For Trace Embry, I'm Rich Rosl, inviting you to join us again next week so you can once again renew your license to parent.
And parents, remember, if you don't train your kids, somebody else will. God bless. We'll see you next time.